Broadcasting live from Pacific Lutheran University in Tacoma, Washington, this is the Radio Hour, a convergence of mass media and laser, Lute Air Student Radio. It's Wednesday, September 28th. I'm Libby Postavoit.
I'm Paris Franklin.
And I'm Helen Smith.
And I'm Julia Grosvenor. Glad to have you listening tonight as my colleagues from Mass Media and I bring you our opinions on campus news, intriguing Lute life stories, and more. Make sure to visit massmedia.plu.edu for all this and more. All right, guys, let's jump right into it. We spent a lot of the last year giving you updates on KPLU's trials and tribulations through the process of possibly being sold to the UW from PLU. We also covered the campaign for KPLU to buy its own independence out, and there hasn't been a whole lot of update on that around campus. But in fact, KPLU is now completely independent of PLU and has changed its name to KNKX, which stands for Connects. And they are connecting you to jazz and NPR and blues, I think is their slogan. No, to connecting you to the latest jazz, blues, and NPR news. Yeah, that was it. It rhymed.
That was a nice rhyme.
Yeah. It seems to be going pretty well for them. I mean, I listen to it in the car pretty much frequently. The one problem that seems to have arisen from the name change is that people look at KNKX and they don't see Connects. They see the word Kinks. But
which we definitely had a conversation about right before this show started.
Yeah, it was very professional.
It was a hot button issue.
Hot button issue.
It was a hot issue. Yeah. I just think it's very interesting that, like, the whole sort of popularity of the issue did die down pretty quickly. And I'm also very confused as to what's now happening with the Neeb Center, the building that used to broadcast what is now KNKX. Does anyone know what's happened to that building?
That's definitely a question around campus, and hopefully some interviewers for the MAST might get on the subject, because most news stories about the change are just interested in the station's name as it is a nationally broadcasted station, not so much its relationship to PLU.
Which now I'm quite curious about.
Yeah, like, another thing that I was just thinking about was, now that KNKX is a universe or an individual independent entity, it's like, how is it going to support itself in the future? Like, it was able to get its own, like, independence from PLU and avoid, like, the UW deal, but how long will it last? I mean, will people be continually donating money and stuff to keep it going?
Yeah, because it was one thing to actually get the organization as separate from any university. But now I'm quite curious as to whether or not, like, are we charging rent? Who is running this? Is it the same people? Do they have their jobs? Do they still have the same reciprocity with things like tuition at PLU? Because I know that was one of the big important things about having KPLU, is that a lot of the people who work there, their kids and their spouses were able to get the same tuition reciprocity as any other PLU employees. Mm-hmm. And now if it's independent, like, I would be really interested to see what's happening to some of those families who were brought to PLU by KPLU, and how their lives have changed, or if they even have it all now that it is its own thing.
Yeah, and, like, the thing is, like, buying KPLU, or now it's KNKX, is a whole different issue than sustaining it. And, like, you know, the future of radio itself is kind of ambiguous, which I hate to say on this radio show, but...
to all 20 of our listeners.
To all 20 of you darlings who stay with the old times. But it's like, you know, will radio, like, keep going on in this increasingly more digital, like, YouTube kind of focused age?
Everything is so podcast-based, which is nice for a lot of reasons. Like, I mean, as you can see, we even put our show up in a podcast format and allows a lot more people to look at it. And it's nice because people can just download a whole bunch of podcasts and listen to them on planes or while they're doing other work. But it is so interesting because hardly anyone uses actual radio anymore. And I think the only reason that the art form has survived is because our cars have radios in them. Mm-hmm. And if that was to stop, which it's now even being phased out with everyone having aux cords in their cars, like, what will happen to this medium?
Well, hey, I'm a pet sitter, and I happen to know for a fact that a lot of people leave their radios on for their cats so they don't feel lonely. So clearly we still have a market here. But I also think it's worth mentioning that we can wonder about, you know, if radio is failing in general, but I don't think that necessarily means KNKX is failing, because despite the fact that PLU tried to sell them, they were actually still very successful at the time they were being sold, and they remain successful. They're nationally broadcasted. It's not just a local news NPR and jazz station. People listen to it across the country.
I mean, I'd be interested to see if, like, the listenership has increased, decreased, or stayed, like, stable since this transition from, like, of leadership, KPLU to KNKX.
Well, it would also be interesting to look at how well it worked to have all of these different, like, mediums of communication about the radio station itself, because I think it really did bring it into the public eye last year. And I know people on campus were really upset about it, and there were all sorts of protests and different people writing about it. So to see if that gained any recognition and whether that will be successful in the future for other independent radio stations.
If you have anything you would like to contribute to this issue, if you know more about KNKX, feel free to call in and tell us about it at 253-535-7332. That's 253-535-7332.
Just, you know, you've always wanted to.
Let us know if you know stuff, because we don't.
Unfortunately, we don't have a voice changer. We should totally get one.
Yeah, so if you're on the run, but you're like, I gotta divulge this KNKX news, maybe don't do it on the air. You know, you can
set up an interview with us. We'd love to talk.
Yes, totally. And if you want to, like, raise your voice over radio waves, there's a mic.
You can join us. You don't have to call in. Just walk into the studio.
We are here.
Yeah.
From 8 to 9 p.m. every Wednesday. Plugging this again.
We won't be able to stop you. We'll just be like, someone just barged in here. I mean, there is swipe access, but, you know.
No big deal.
Yeah.
Yes. So you're listening to the Radio Hour, brought to you by Mast Media here on Laser, Loot Air Student Radio. I'm Libby, and up next, we got more to talk about. Regarding the loot lockers.
Yeah, coming up after the break, we're talking about a lot of important, interesting things.
It's not the break included. Yet. We're talking about loot lockers.
Oh, that's what's happening. Oh, thank you.
Yeah, so from sorry. Helen. Tell us about it, Helen.
Hi. Okay. Well, first things first, the bookstore is not closing, and that's like... That is the biggest rumor that people ask me about nearly every day when I'm working at the bookstore. And second, it is almost literally a locker. It's like the smallest. It's if you recognize the what I'm talking about, it's like on the bottom floor of the University Center, and there used to be a square of carpet where they had a ton of like chairs and couches and
called the gray area.
Yeah, those armchairs where there's like a little desk thing built into it that you could pull out. I really liked that, but now it's the bookstore, and it's very small. And we sell loot gear, spirit gear, sweatshirts, workout gear, school supplies, art supplies, books, anything. Honestly, it's basically what you would expect a bookstore to sell, anything like that. So
as an employee there, may I ask you some questions about it?
Yes, absolutely.
So I'm very curious, have you noticed that there is now a big change in the amount of people you would see in any given shift because of its new location?
Not a ton, actually. I work mostly in the mornings, and in the morning, most people are sleeping like they should be. So yeah, not a ton of people come by while I'm working, which is sad because I get really lonely and I just start talking to people who walk by. And
go visit Helen.
They totally don't want to talk to me. And I'm like, guys, I'm so lonely.
What hours do you work, Helen?
Of our visitors want.
Absolutely. I usually work from like 9:30 to 11 on Monday, Wednesday, Friday. And Tuesday and Thursday, usually 9:30 on into the afternoon.
Ooh.
And I also work on Saturdays in the morning, so basically any day of the week, if you want to come down to the loot locker, I will be there.
Yeah, this is a super good advertising tactic.
Yeah, great to know.
Thank you.
And then just another question, what is now happening with the space that's over on Garfield and that's still attached to 208?
I am not positive. The last thing I heard that was like a possibility was that there was going to be a Pierce County job program, and they were going to teach technical skills. And I also heard that there could possibly be like a kiln somewhere in the old bookstore. So I wasn't positive what that's about, if that's like incorporated in the job skills they're teaching or anything like that. Yeah, but that was the last thing I heard that sounded super possible. And I believe that once we move out, somebody's going to be moving in, possibly the job program, and renovating the space so that they can open up in the spring, I believe.
Yeah. So what will happen to the bookstore for just this semester then?
We are at the Loot Locker. So for right now, we're open at both spaces. Oh. And the bookstore is huge, obviously. It's really big. So we have a lot of stuff. And we're going to have to figure out how to put it all into that space or what we're going to do with it all in one space. We obviously have more stuff than we have space. So it's going to be an adventure. We haven't totally, we're still figuring it out as we go along. But by the end of October, we hope to have everything in the Loot Locker.
Are you still going to be carrying like all the gift products, novelty items? Like there was the Scandinavian store. Is that still a thing?
No, so it's just not
as many knick-knack paddywhacks.
Yeah, so there's actually a huge, like, okay, I wouldn't say huge, obviously, because the bookstore is, it's downsizing, but there is a semi-reliable scan shop customer base, which is
pretty surprising.
Yeah, and they're mostly older people who are like really in touch with their Scandinavian heritage. So there's a lot of like daughters of Norway or like sons of Norway people that come by, and they're really upset that it's closing and that we're not carrying that stuff anymore. But there are also more Scandinavian stores in the area, in Washington in general, I guess. I mean, they're not close. There's one in Bothell, and there's one in Gig Harbor that I know of.
There's one in Bothell? Yeah. I'm from Bothell.
Those are the two that I am aware.
So just speaking as an aside about the large Scandinavian population in the area, if anyone ever gets a chance to go to the Nordic Heritage Museum, which is also in Bothell, that is quite... Yeah, there's a... Yeah, how do you not know about that?
Why do I not know?
My parents tried to take me there over winter break, and I was like, you guys are not using my vacation to take me to a Norwegian Heritage Museum. We're not even Norwegian.
Well done.
Yeah, that's what they said, but I didn't believe them,
it's
so maybe
nice
I'll
museum.
Have to go.
Yeah, go on. Sorry.
Yeah, well, technically my address isn't Bothell anymore. It used to be Bothell, and it was changed to Kirkland, so maybe that's why I don't know, because I'm not, like, true Bothell.
It's between, like, Bothell and... Fremont, if that means anything.
Oh,
to
okay,
anyone.
It's on that side.
It's on that side of
okay.
Bothell.
Yeah, that's the side that's farthest from me. Yeah. So we don't go there.
Like near Ballard, I think. Yeah. I don't know. I'm not so good with the geography of a city I've never lived in.
It's okay. You're from out of state.
Yeah, I'm not even from here. So, yeah, the bookstore. Fascinating stuff. We appreciate all of your insight, Helen. Yeah. And
no problem.
Once again, if anyone has anything to add about this, it's quite the issue, and if you happen to be Scandinavian and you think it's unfortunate that we're closing down that store, call us up, let us know what you're thinking.
Yep, or just go to Bothell.
Or go to Bothell, there's so much for you there.
Yep, it's great. It's a wonderful town.
Coming up after this break, we are going to talk about EpiPens, but first, here's Closer by the Chainsmokers. This is the Radio Hour, a convergence of Mast Media and Laser.
You're listening to the Radio Hour, brought to you by Mast Media here on Laser, Loot Air Student Radio. Now, to address a serious issue that is not just about PLU, but students on campuses everywhere.
And also, that was Cold Water by Major Lazer, and before that was Closer by the Chainsmokers. And fun fact, I thought Cold Water was by Justin Bieber.
Ooh, fun fact.
It's featuring Justin
Bieber. I totally
Bieber.
Swapped the story order.
It's you know, that was also an old part of the script I forgot to delete. So
we're still getting our things together over here.
Guys, yes. This isn't about being professional. It's about having fun, am I right, ladies?
And
I
about guess. Sharing our opinions with people who probably don't care that much.
Guys, just, you know, have some fun with it. Take a drink every time we mess up, if you're of legal age.
Oh my goodness, that would be the greatest. I want to start a drinking game. Yeah, I'm going to go back through the podcast.
I think you are of legal age, of course, which I am not. It's just, you know, a casual suggestion.
We can go back through in the podcast once we're of age.
Maybe if you're in Europe and you are of age, you know, like there's options.
Go to Canada.
Yeah.
We're all of age in Canada.
Oh, masty mast.
Back to you, Libby.
All right. So in the mast, in the opinion section, one writer was talking about profit or life with the EpiPen price hike. So here's the scoop on that. So Mylan Pharmaceuticals is a company that's manufacturing EpiPens, which release a drug that helps people who are
epinephrine.
Dealing with, yes, a drug. Thank you. That Paris knows the name of because she's really smart.
Not true.
Yes, true.
Go on.
And so essentially what Mylan Pharmaceuticals has done is that they have a monopoly on EpiPens, and they raise the price They raise the price. I can speak very coherently tonight, ladies and gentlemen, and people who don't associate us either.
That's not something to make light of. I've just never heard someone phrase it that way before.
And a lot of people are mad about this because when you raise the price, like, by roughly 6 times for a life-saving device, yeah, there will be people who can't afford this. Because there's other things that cost money in life. And it's kind of a huge ethical issue that people are looking at with Mylan Pharmaceuticals. As in, like, do they really have the right to do this? To screw a bunch of people over in the name of, like, immediate profit? And also, will this actually be, like, a good idea for them later on in their company life? Because, well, if they have a really, really crappy reputation... in terms of, like, not caring about their customers' lives, if another company comes up and is like, hey, we're going to make something super similar and have a lower price, like, would people go flocking to that other company? So
it reminds me just a lot about the same situation with the AIDS medication last year.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, because he became the most hated man in the country for a brief amount of time. And I think it's so interesting to see that people aren't quite as outraged with this issue, even though it seems as though it would be far more commonplace to have someone with an EpiPen as opposed to someone who is HIV or AIDS positive.
Yeah, well, I think the difference is Martin Shkreli said himself, and not that I view him as a credible source, but he was, according to him, essentially used as a scapegoat for the people he represented financially. He was sort of the face of the decision to increase the price of the AIDS medication. So this is sort of an interesting practice in, like, what are we going to hate more, the idea that a faceless company would make a decision like this or the idea that a human person make a decision like this? Like, it's a lot easier for us to believe that a corporation might be evil, but at the same time, are we just more attracted to the idea of a single bad guy?
Wow, that is a really interesting point. I hadn't even thought about that.
Hey,
same.
Coming at you with them points. It's Julia. Also, like, $600, by the way, for an EpiPen, which is something that people just need to have on hand.
Yeah, for a double pack of the EpiPen.
Yeah, for a double pack. I was talking to somebody who, ended up... apparently they're cheaper in Canada, and he was in Canada, and he didn't buy any before this price hike happened, so he's talking about he missed out on an opportunity. And I suggested, like, oh, well, you know, maybe you could find somebody who just doesn't read the news or anything, who happens to have a lot of EpiPens, and then you could be like, oh, man, I really need an EpiPen. I'll give you $400. And then they'll just be like, haha, like, this guy just gave me $400 for a pack of EpiPens, when really you'd be making a $200
profit. Seriously.
It's just, like, it just drives me nuts, though, that, like, Mylan Pharmaceuticals knows that they can play with people's lives. And they do it because they're just like, capitalism, y'all.
I wonder if it also has to do with the fact that it's so hard to get things covered by insurance, depending on the state. Mm-hmm. And there's a big debate, and that's one of the interesting things that our lovely presidential candidates have been talking about, is the difficulty that most American citizens have getting their basic medical needs met, in either because of their state laws or because of the trading rule, or not trading, the... I guess just the different rules that are present for insurance companies when going across state lines. So it's quite interesting to see how all of these things kind of come together at once.
Yeah, it's like, as somebody who has anaphylaxis when I get, or an anaphylactic reaction when I have peanuts, it's like, I need an EpiPen, And I'm really, really lucky that I am in a position where I'm not, like, terribly, 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 like, life or death if I don't, like... Sorry, I'm phrasing this super, super strangely. Sorry, everyone.
Not a problem. Go on.
But it's, like, I'm very lucky in that I have EpiPens, like, on hand, and that I'm not in such dire financial straits, for example, that I wouldn't be able to afford one of the EpiPens, like, that is, like, $600 if need be. But it's like, what about people who just have other financial burdens going on? Is it like, do their lives matter less to Mylan Pharmaceuticals? And also, like, this is going to sound kind of coarse possibly, but if all of their customers die, they won't have any customers.
Hey. Out of curiosity,
that's
because
a good point.
Since you use EpiPens, you might know, do they expire? Like, do you need to continually buy more if you don't use them?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I believe the recommended, and I'm not, like, a doctor or anything, and there's a reason why I'm a humanities major and not a STEM major. The recommended is, like, you refresh, like, every year or two, I think. So my EpiPens are getting a little bit old and decrepit, but, you know...
Is it worth it? The real questions start to appear.
It's so interesting because even if you look at a student who is trying to work, even if it's the limited, like, 20 hours a week that we allow on campus, if you're making, what, however many, if you work 20 hours a week, you're, I guess, getting paid, say, $9 an hour. Mm-hmm. So that's going to be $180 in a week. So it would take you more than a month to afford a new EpiPen if you needed one.
Yeah.
Just love to hear more financial struggles for students, basically. Yeah. We need more of those.
Well, I mean, and also, if you think about it, like, in terms of, like, just which groups tend to have more money than others, like, not just in universities, but also, like, in the larger scale of our country, I would imagine that, like, people of color, for example, would have less access to EpiPens, which... I mean, I don't mean to say that... Oh, go on.
Here. Oh, I just don't know if it would come down to a racial issue, but I do think, like, as far as, like, economic demographics are concerned, that would absolutely make a difference.
I mean, like, I don't mean to say, like, for example, this was an obvious ploy, like, by Mylan Pharmaceuticals to be, like, let's not have people of color have access to this and have them all, like, die of anaphylactic reactions. But it's kind of, like... But this is real problematic on so many levels.
And just, like, socioeconomic in general, this idea that rich people somehow deserve to be healthier almost is what is conveyed mm-hmm. by
Absolutely.
Our health system in America, because it is a for-profit health system, and for-profit systems favor people who have more money. That's simply how it works. And so even though there are a lot of good arguments for for-profit health systems, like, people do tend to do... Like, they might do better work if there's some sort of competitive element, but at the same time, is this something that's really worth, you know, abandoning large segments of the population for?
I mean, I just hope that there are new innovations in this kind of, like, treatment for epinephrine. Thank you, Paris.
Anytime.
I feel like I should know this because I have the allergy.
See, that's if it makes you feel any better, I'm allergic to penicillin, and I can't spell penicillin. I always spell it wrong the first time.
Thank you, Paris, for that great
I'm allergic
injection
to amoxicillin.
I'm also allergic to amoxicillin.
All right. Antibiotic allergy buddies.
Woo!
Here's how we don't get any antibiotic-resistant viruses. Yay!
This is actually our ploy with the universe to not let anything bad happen to us because none of us can take medication, apparently.
I can take medication.
Oh,
yay,
fine, Helen.
Helen's the better one. She's
I'm not allergic to anything.
She's a superhuman.
So three of us here in the radio office... are bonding over the fact that the world's conspiring to kill us. And
Helen just enjoys being better.
Helen's just sitting pretty in a corner.
Helen's just alive.
Alive.
I am. I'm really alive. Just a little bit more than the rest of you.
Yeah. You're just going to be slightly more successful.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, you're listening to The Radio Hour, brought to you by Mass Media, here on Laser, Loot Air, Student Radio. And I think if we're all ready to move on, speaking of our allergies, this is actually a great segue, because... Campus Safety just released a new app that is through 911 Shield, which is just a larger app server, I believe, And you can download it, and then you can tell this app your height, your weight, other physical descriptors, as well as your allergies, and then it can track your progress while you're walking home, or you can request campus safety rides through it. You can see a map of campus. So it's just another thing that we have in place to keep people safe. And we had some fun going through before the show, making sure we were all familiar with the app and learning about each other's allergies. But that was actually not something we brought up until the show.
I was honestly wondering how you were going to make the allergy connection when you first said that.
It's
I
a
was
great like, segue.
I was like, segue. Campus safety where we're allergic to crime.
Oh my gosh,
that would have been way better.
The Campus Safety Loot Shield app is your EpiPen against criminal activity.
Yeah, so I'm an employee of Campus Safety, and I think it's really wonderful that we were able to put out. I know the school has a lot of apps because we have Loot Guide, we have the Mass Media app, which everyone should also go look at, and now we have something that's really dedicated to the safety aspect, because in the last app that our school put out, which was the Mass Media app, it had the access to Campus Safety's number. But it was interesting because it was just the one little button where you could call campus safety, and it didn't even provide the two different, there's an emergency line and a non-emergency line for campus safety. And I think it provided the non-emergency line, which is not a problem at all, but it was interesting because it didn't distinguish that on the app. And now campus safety has its entirely own app.
Which is a very good thing, I think, because at PLU we try to foster an environment of care and
care for one another, yeah, and the community.
Go campus
and,
safety
and
apps.
The earth,
which is not entirely related here.
Well, I mean, I'm sure that campus safety tries to hug all the trees it can.
Yeah, it's true. And they actually did just get a new vehicle that was through the sustainability fund that is an electric vehicle to go around campus. And all of the patrol cars have been Priuses for quite some time now. So they do care for the earth. Campus safety is doing some really nice things.
Oh my gosh. This was like a revelation, guys.
Campus safety is the PLU mission statement.
Yeah. I mean, I'm very excited, like, just because it is sometimes kind of scary to like walk to my dorm at night. There's like this option available. And like just so accessible now, I mean. But I'm kind of sad that we do have this in place because yes, the world is not perfect, but it's like still.
It's quite interesting because I'm the same way. I'm terrified to walk around in this area alone at night. So if I'm walking more than one building, I absolutely get a walking or driving escort because it's not the greatest area to be in. And I have a very skewed view of the neighborhood because of my job, because I get to hear about absolutely every incident that occurs. And so then I get more nervous than I'm sure even just the average citizen living here would. But it is quite sad that we do need to have an app in place for our students because some of them don't feel comfortable walking around in this area at night.
I mean, like, there was an incident, like, earlier, like, this weekend, where, like, I was literally just meeting up with some friends, like, at the Walgreens down the street. And I was wearing heels because I had just gone from, like, the university congregation thing, and I didn't really have time to change, and I was getting printer paper.
Which, also, good for you walking all the way to Walgreens in here. Heels.
I know.
Killing the game,
like,
Libby.
I realized, oh, crap, like, I could have changed my shoes, and it's getting dark outside because it was, like, around 7:30, 8. And I just grabbed, like, my pepper spray and put it in my pocket, like, ready to go in case necessary. Mm-hmm. And then I just remember this wave of relief when I saw one of my male friends who was also heading the same direction. And it's, like, I was just thinking, gee, like, this app is good for situations kind of like that,
mm-hmm,
where you don't need to depend on your friend who isn't a girl. But it's, like, still... Why do we have to think that way? Like, gee, better be prepared.
Did you say that you could also order a ride?
I believe you can.
Where, like, say I am in the library at midnight, and I parked in the parking lot behind Morgan, so that's all the way, that's, like, the farthest points on campus that I can think of right now that I would realistically walk.
You're making me so sad just thinking about it.
Parking is terrible. But, so, could I ask for somebody to drive me down there?
Yes, you could indeed.
That's incredible.
Yeah, it's...
This is blowing my mind right now.
It's within a certain radius of campus, but it should cover absolutely all of campus, as well as some locations even on Pacific, and then I think some that go... I think we might even go down as far as Tule Lake Drive. But I'm not entirely sure. I don't personally do the driving escorts.
Wait, so is there, like, a time limit for the escorts? Like, which hours?
Yes. So you can get a walking escort 24 hours a day. So if you're walking somewhere that's on campus or within the certain radius, I don't know, the certain area of campus, you will always have access to an officer to meet you and walk you. And then if it's between the hours of 4 p.m. and I think 3 a.m., then you can get a driving escort. And then if you have any other form of, if you have some other need that arises, you can also request driving escorts outside of those hours, like a special escort. Say you're on crutches and you have the same problem where you're trying to get from the library down to Morkin for a class, then that's also something that you would be able to contact campus safety about.
Cool beans. Also, I feel like someone who comes from a different generation by using the term cool beans.
I say all of the really stupid things like okie dokie artichokey.
It's adorable.
And it's not. It's really annoying. People get mad at it.
Well, you know, as an intellectual, I like...
I don't use okie dokie.
I prefer to say mild temperatured legumes.
Oh, absolutely.
That's not my joke. I stole that from Tumblr.
I think it's time for us to move along. So,
oh, thank you, Helen, for keeping us in check.
Coming up after the break, we're talking about the first presidential debate. But first, here's Into You by Ariana Grande. And this is The Radio Hour, a convergence of mass media and laser.
Radio Hour on Laser, Loot Air Student Radio. That was Good Grief by Bastille, and before that was Into You by Ariana Grande. So, let's get to the real issue, guys. The presidential debate was on Monday, and it was a doozy. I have to say, I mean, granted, this is my first presidential debate that I've watched as a voter, but it was honestly thrilling. Like, everyone I know was either watching it or was currently being texted by someone who was watching it. There were reactions all over the place. I remember my friends went to dinner, like, right around the time it started, and over in the corner of the Commons, they had it playing on the TV, and we were just watching the way that Hillary and Trump moved. I was like, oh, they're bringing out the fingers, guys. Oh, someone's shaking their head. It was so entertaining. But to go over some highlights, let's just say, definitely interesting. Fact checkers went over the debate and they discovered that, I don't remember the exact numbers, but both candidates actually lied a couple of times. Hillary Clinton, for example, said that Trump has, in any of the tax returns that he has ever released, he has not filed income tax in any of those returns. In fact, in 5 tax returns that he released in the 70s, he filed income tax 3 out of those 5 times. What? So he has, there is record of him filing
back
income
in
tax
the 70s.
At least 3 but times. Trump lied about...
Maybe more than that.
Yeah.
Maybe just a little bit more.
Maybe a couple of things. I think Trump may have stood out more in essence of the way he maneuvered himself, not so much as direct lies. Just talking about, for example, the way that he said that he was initially against the war in Iraq. And on air, he went on describing, I did an interview with Howard Stern, and he asked me how I felt about it, and he said, oh, I don't know. He said that, and that's not him saying no, and he literally said, I don't know. So, just, you know, there you have it. He didn't completely lie all the time.
I found a really funny tweet. I was trying to live tweet the show as best as I could. The presidential debate for the next person who will be the leader of the free world. I was watching a lot of other people live tweet it, and I was trying to come up with some original thoughts as well as retweeting many things. And I think by far the best thing I saw after the debate was about basically every time Donald Trump said, I never said that, he did in fact say that.
Mm-hmm. I think it was interesting just that Hillary, you know, admittedly came into the debate prepared, but Donald Trump bragged about not coming prepared. And it was interesting because this is very pertinent in terms of, like, just a very, very similar election that had happened before, as in George H.W. Bush, I can speak super well tonight, versus Al Gore.
Mm-hmm.
Al Gore is similar to Clinton in that... their kind of persona is the same in terms of, like, they're very viewed as, like, intellectual, kind of more left. George H.W. Bush has some striking similarities to Trump, like, just comparing these elections, because he definitely appealed more to the people and definitely was more of a performer, I think, than an intellectual, and certainly didn't really speak in the most concrete terms when answering questions. And what happened was that, so apparently, according to some, like, briefs from, like, before this debate actually happened, between our current presidential nominees, there was a review about, like, this other campaign thing that was going on way back when. And Al Gore allegedly didn't win because apparently when he was listening to George W. Bush speak, he kind of, like, rolled his eyes and smirked. So he was kind of like, stupid people. Essentially, that was, like, what American voters kind of got when they saw this. Which, this is the reason why people think that Al Gore did not win. So it was interesting that Donald Trump didn't do his homework because he pretty much did the same thing whenever Hillary spoke.
He was quite reactive. Like, yeah. He was very expressive. He was gesticulating a lot.
Mm-hmm.
It was very interesting to watch. As you said, it was a lot more like a performance.
A lot of analysts were actually saying that they think Hillary won the debate simply because Trump spent a lot of time defending himself. But in fact, there have been several polls issued after the debates, and one by CNN that had people who went online voted in the poll said that they thought Hillary won, but another issue that I think was by Time magazine, people said that Trump won. So it's actually kind of split between the popular opinion of who won. Another thing that oftentimes people use to decide, like, oh, who won the debate is interruptions, because if someone's presidential, they might be able to speak with enough confidence and assuredness that maybe they wouldn't get interrupted. And Hillary Clinton got interrupted significantly more times. I am just trying to remember this number off the top of my head, but I believe it was 73 times. 12 of those times were from the moderator, and 51 of them were from Trump. Those numbers don't even add up, but they're the numbers I remember.
I was just going to say, Julia.
Yeah, that adds up to 63. Skills. But it was something in the range of Trump interrupted her a lot. And so people are debating then, well, looking at that figure, like, what does that even say about these candidates? Should we say that, you know, that even though normally we compare who gets interrupted the least, are we saying that Hillary gets, you know, more kudos this time because she was getting interrupted so much by Trump, and that in and of itself isn't very presidential either.
So yeah, lots of interesting things to think about. We would be interested to hear what you have to say. Unfortunately, we are all out of time for this evening, but if we have any final last minute thoughts before the next group can come on in and start their show.
I think that the whole interruption issue says a lot more about Donald Trump than Hillary Clinton. And not in a good way.
Alrighty, well, that is our show, folks. Keep listening to Lute Air Student Radio all week for an eclectic mix of music and talk. We appreciate your company this evening. I'm Paris Franklin.
I'm Julia Grosvenor.
I'm Libby Postavoit.
And I'm Helen Smith. This has been the Radio Hour, a convergence of mass media and laser. Thanks for listening, and good night.